Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Stand up on your feet if you're able to, and we are passing out notes, I think, if you perhaps have gotten those. We're going to go ahead and read one verse of Scripture found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, very special message, which I've entitled, Read the Room, Understanding and Operating in the Gift of Discernment. What a powerful text. Let's go ahead and read it on the screen now, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits. Would you say that? To another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. Father, thank you. Move in great power as we preach your word. May we never be the same as a result. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Read the room. Anybody ever heard that expression? Let me give you, it's kind of a Gen Z term. It means to accurately perceive what is really happening in an environment, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, and to respond wisely. Go to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1 through 2. Now, the Spirit expressly says in the latter times, some will depart. Everybody say depart. Or some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things that are taught by demons. Leave verse 1 up, please. So, the church is being warned, this letter to Timothy is being warned, that there's going to be people that abandon the faith. Now, I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news much, but there's a whole lot going on. It's like, I know, Iran and the wars and the different, yes, certainly. But there's a whole lot going on with the church too, religious circles and challenges. And there are people that will abandon their faith. There are people that will depart. Another version says, if you depart from Wasilla to go to Anchorage, at some point you leave the city of Wasilla, and you cross into the Chugach area, and then eventually you'll be in Anchorage. If you travel to Anchorage, are you in Wasilla? So you can literally depart the faith. And I've seen that over the course of pastoring almost 30 years. There are people that throw in the towel, that depart the faith, and begin following deceiving spirits. There are deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Ooh, there are things taught by demons. You don't want to be taught by a demon. Go to verse 2. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron. There are a number of things that have taken place recently that have grieved me. And there are tremendous challenges that face the church and our nation. The truth is, societal structures based on Judeo-Christian revelation have systematically been torn down. Now, there's a turnaround there, and I'm very grateful. Did you all hear that they're going to be rededicating the United States of America? You know how glad I am for that? I mean, when I walk in my hotel room, I sanctify that thing in the name of Jesus. I'm so grateful that they are going to pray a sanctifying prayer over the United States of America. And I'm prayerfully considering going. There's something taking place, but there's still a lot of defilement and lots of demons teaching people. There's protection has been lifted off in many places, has been removed. And as a result of that, demonic intrusion has taken place. There's lying spirits that are filling the mouths of people, even pastors, even so-called prophets. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. I mean, I've had people just lie to me straight-faced without flinching. I think that's a lying spirit. There's all kinds of scams convincing people to turn. It really all comes from the pit of hell. Hebrews 12, verse 15, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. So let me see, you can depart from the faith, you can fall short of the grace of God. You might get a little uncomfortable in the course of my preaching to you in the next 30 minutes here, because I'm gonna take the head off of some stuff that just needs to be dealt with. And through the reports that I've got, you say, what reports? If you didn't hear them, don't bother. It's the same thing that's happened year after year over the course of since Jesus was crucified and resurrected. There's corruption. There's doctrines of demons that people depart the faith. There are people that teach things that are ungodly. Their conscience are seared. It's just important to know about it. Ephesians 12, see to it. See to it. Be certain. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. When unforgiveness is allowed in your heart, it can develop and remain what is called a bitter root, a root of bitterness, and can defile many, is another word, cause trouble or defile many. There's a road in the Hawaiian Islands that goes up to about 3,000 feet. The last part of it, 3,000 feet in elevation, the last part of it is not maintained by the state. And there are these giant eucalyptus trees, and their roots have driven underneath the asphalt of the road. And literally, when you drive up that road, you have to go around the whole thing, or you'll just rip out your exhaust system. I mean, your car will bottom out. And there's a unique way of driving that, because these roots, that's the way bitterness is. If you have unforgiveness, it can work in you like a root, like this. Bitterness and cause trouble, even defile not only you, but other people. Raise your hand if you bumped into somebody that is bitter. You said, well, I'm not bitter. Well, let me ask you this. Do you have a residue of bitterness? The Lord put his finger on some things in my life a number of years ago. Go to Jude, the book of Jude. And said, you're struggling with bitterness. I'm like, no, I'm not. And then the Lord showed me it was really just residue that I had forgiven, but there was a hint of bitterness. In Jude, in the 11th verse, it says, woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. It's talking about false teachers. Run greedily for the error of Balaam for profit, and have perished in the rebellion of Korah. There are false teachers out there, and numerous ones were exposed just this last few weeks. And maybe you've seen some of that. And there are false teachers, there are false prophets, there are doctrines of demons, and it's a problem. There are those who are filled with the way of Cain. Well, what is the way of Cain, Pastor? The way of Cain is a bitterness. Cain gave what he wanted to. Abel gave what was required. And in the process, Cain was rejected because he did not give in the way that was prescribed, taught by, we can assume, Adam and Eve, his parents. So Cain gave fruit, but Abel gave the firstborn. It's the sacrificial system that's set up. And in Leviticus, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. But Cain wanted another way to worship God. And the Lord comes and he speaks to him. I made my children memorize it. Says, Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Do you not know, and I'm paraphrasing, that if you do what is right, you'll be accepted. But if you do not do what is right, sin is waiting at the door. It's crouching at the door. Its desire is for you. You must master it. And he becomes the first murderer because he did not master it. And there are those who are filled with bitterness, the way of Cain. There are those who run greedily into the error of Balaam for profit, and that was exposed just this past week. I thank God we're not connected with any that were exposed in this past week. I know some of them. And the truth is, well, who knows the truth? It's hard to get truth these days. But there is truth and there is a lie. You know what's encouraging to me? Say, you know what? Well, we're going to stand before the Lord in the end. And he's going to straighten it all out. Come on, somebody say he's going to straighten it out. You know, a false teacher is not somebody necessarily with horns. They don't come up to you. Let me teach you. You'd be like, Rabbi, bind you. They don't come like that. Angels of light. Satan is like an angel of light. He comes. False teachers don't come necessarily with horn, but you can have right doctrine. Listen to me. Listen. You can have right doctrine and still be a false teacher. Because it can be affixed to their attitude. So there's a lot going on. And I, on the eve of our prophetic conference, wanted to just hammer the thing. Lift your hands to heaven and say, oh God, open up my ears. Come on, say, oh God, open up my eyes. It's a good prayer because religious manipulation is all over. And for whatever reason, the church, generally speaking, not here. Everybody say, not here. By the grace of God. Religious people are easy to manipulate. And I think the reason is because we're believers. We want to believe. We just want to believe. We want to believe. Anybody remember Jim Jones? Raise your hand if you remember Jim Jones. Okay, so those of you are probably my age or a little bit older. Raise your hand if you ever heard of the expression, don't drink the Kool-Aid. There's a little bit more. Because Jim Jones was an Assembly of God preacher with signs and wonders and miracles of people getting saved. And there came this one fateful moment where he took the Bible and he threw it down in the middle of his church service and said, it's no longer God's word. It's mine, my word. About half the people got up and walked out. And the other half received the doctrines of demons and were led, I think it's to, is it Uganda? They were led to Uganda, about 1,000 people. Moved to Ghana in Africa, about 1,000 people. And there was a senator's daughter in California. How many of you remember this? And 1,000 people drank the Kool-Aid and they all died in Ghana, led by a false teacher, Jim Jones, who started out right, but something went wrong. His conscience was seared. And in situations like that, you'll see all this perversion. Somebody say, whoa. Because of that, some churches operate in fear and will not allow the prophetic. Because there's been the pathetic, where there's been manipulation of people and doing it for Balaam's error, which is, do you remember Balaam? Balaam's a prophet that the donkey talked to. And what's Balaam's error? Balaam is considered a wicked man because he basically couldn't curse Israel in the book of Numbers. He was hired to curse Israel. And he stands there to curse them on the way to Canaan's land. And God turned the curse into a blessing because you can't curse what God has blessed. Can you say yes? And he says, there's no divination in Israel. There's no corruption. They'll rise like a lioness and drink the blood of their victims. It's this powerful text. It's a favorite verse of mine. But yet, Balaam says, I can't curse what God's blessed, but let me teach you something. Just bring over the women and get them over into sexual perversion, get them over into sexual sin, and they'll come out from under the hand of God and they'll get cursed. So just go ahead. And so they send the women down. Certain women. Come on, somebody say certain women. And they ended up cursing Israel, and a plague came on Israel. And I love that young man, Phinehas. I believe God's raising up Phinehases. He stopped the plague with his zeal for God. Some prophetic words are used to control people. So what are you saying? This is really all an introduction. Doctrines of demons, false teachers, idolatry. Some people think, well, the gifts just don't operate anymore. It's too late to tell me that. And you got to do a whole bunch of spiritual jumping jacks to prove that the gifts don't exist anymore. And you would think if the gifts cease that they would tell us. Is there an answer to all this? What is the answer to the corruption? What is the answer to the gangrenous teaching that Jude talks about? What is the answer to manipulation and all of that? What is the answer? You know what the answer is? You got to learn to read the room. Come on, say it. You got to what? You got to read the room. That you means, really, you'd have to have discernment. Does the church have an answer? Emphatically, yes, in the notes now. The church does have an answer. Yes, there's an answer. One of the things that's happening this morning, whether you realize it or not, and I'm not aware of any false teaching that's happening here, thank God. But one of the things that's happening is when God's word is preached, like I'm preaching it right now, I am preaching to you right now from God's word. Not the Reader's Digest, God's word. Not my opinion, God's word. When God's word goes forth, it takes the head off of the opposition. It just divides between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So when the word is preached, it just brings power. Come on, raise a hand to heaven and say, power. Yeah, that's true. So one of the answers to solving challenges and problems like this is preaching the word of God. And I want to add, under an unction, under an anointing, under an empowerment of the Spirit, it takes the head off of the enemy. Does the church have an answer to doctrines of demons? Yes. Right doctrine. Yes. Integrity. Does the church have an answer to false prophets? Yes. Real prophets. When truth comes, it changes things. But there's also the work of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the work of the Spirit. Write in your notes, the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit in the discerning of spirits. It says is the discerning of spirits, but it's really all the gifts. But specifically this morning, the discerning of spirits. Understanding the gift of discerning of spirits. Some translations don't say it the way that it actually is here. The actual phrase is plural. Just doesn't read well when you read it in the English, but it's discernments of spirits. It's not just singular, it's plural. Discernments of spirits. And there's different kinds of spiritual sources that operate behind people, behind what's taking place in a room, if I could say it that way, in an environment. So if somebody's bringing forth a false word, where is that word coming from? The devil. Maybe. Maybe not. Now, we can pretty much blame the devil for everything that's evil and corrupt and wrong and bad. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we can blame him for everything. But there is other sources and discernments of spirits. The actual plural phrase, it can come from three primary areas. The gift discerns three primary areas in your notes, or write this down. Human spirits. What do you mean human spirits? 1 Thessalonians, that sounds creepy, doesn't it? But the truth is you're a spirit. You're a spirit with a body, not a body with a spirit. Say that with me. I am a spirit with a body, not a body with a spirit. When you die, your flesh is going to go down to the dust yet again. From dust you've come, dust you will return. Your spirit will live forever. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, when you repent and you are born again, he comes to take up residence on the inside of your heart, we call it, or in your spirit. So you have a spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, to be sanctified through and through, the scriptures teach. Spirit, soul, and body. Just as God is the three in one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's three parts to you. Spirit, soul, and body. Everybody say that. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit is your spirit. It's going to live forever. Your soul is your mind, your emotions. Some of you need to get your soul saved. Or I should say sanctified. Jesus comes to take up residence on the inside of you, lives in your spirit, but then you need to renew your mind. You need to change the way you think. You need to get healing in your soul. And then you have a body, similar, made in God's image. So let me say, not everything spiritually happening is the Holy Spirit. It can sometimes be a person's spirit that's speaking or operating, motivated by their spirit, a human spirit, which of course, as Proverbs says, is the lamp of the Lord. Now, listen, I understand that sometimes when I'm preaching, I might be shooting up over your head. Get the message, go listen to it, go study it, be like a good Berean. And others of you are hearing what I'm saying. Others of you are like, I'm lost. Spirit with a what? Body. Not a body with, okay. So come on, raise a hand and say, I'm made in God's image. So literally, discernment helps you to understand what's taking place and where the origins of the message or the actions are. So one of the origins that can be taking place as you discern, as you read the room, is from someone's spirit. Years ago, I had this lady. I was with Pastor Karen. My hair was thinning back then. Hair, by the way, is totally overrated. And I'm glad I've gone bald. I'm happy about it. And I have a little Ronald McDonald thing that comes alongside, and I shave it off. Gladly. And I don't really think too much about it. Get a haircut about every 3 days. It's awesome. My wife likes my bald head. She thinks it's legit. Amen. I had somebody, you remember Pastor Karen, somebody said, you know, the Lord wants to give you hair. I'm like, no, he doesn't. No, I'm going to pray for you. God wants to grow your hair back. No, I think she wanted me to grow my hair back. I've talked to the Lord. He's fine with me being bald. Amen. I think that was from her spirit. Another origin. I should add this. There are people with wounded spirits that need healing. There are people that are filled with fleshly reactions. And you have to discern. Sometimes people just come from their soul or their human spirit. And it's not God. It's them. They give you a word from them. There are demonic spirits, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 24. There are demons that endeavor to manipulate people, and he'll use your mouth if you let him. The only way the devil can speak through you is by you allowing him to. And thirdly, there's angels and the Holy Spirit. So the discernments of spirits is able to figure out the origin, the motivation by which something is happening. Where is it from? They're a human spirit, from a demon maybe, or is it actually the Holy Spirit or an angel that's operating? So do you believe in angels? Oh, yes. Just started the study on angels. It's incredible. They're not to be worshipped, but they do the work of the Lord, sent forth by his word. All right, how the gifting operates. Well, in the context of what we read, it's in judging here, Paul, it's about judging prophecy. Is the prophetic word given, is it from a human spirit, is it demonic spirit, is it the Holy Spirit? So, but Pastor, you're having a prophetic conference and these people are coming. I know they are. And they're all tested, tried, and true. And we know them. I'm going to get to the acid test of how to discern through 1 John whether someone is from God or not, whether they're operating from God or not. And it's very important. You need to be wise. Bump your neighbor and say, be wise. Whether it's being prophesied is of the Lord or not. Are you supposed to judge prophecy? Say yes. Yes. To judge the intention and motivation of somebody, here's this scripture, Hebrews 4 and 12. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even in the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him who we must give an account. My goodness. Some people have a natural gifting for discernment. Others think they have it, and it's really suspicion. When you read 1 Corinthians 13 about what love is, love always hopes. Many, many years ago in the church, there was a man who was committing adultery. Nobody knew about it. Pastor's wife talking to him, finished a conversation, and said to the pastor, that man's in adultery. She said, come on, honey, said the wife, the husband. Come on, come on. She says, no, he is. And they prayed, sure enough, 3 weeks later, it all came out, and she was right. That's discernment operating. How many of you have operated in the gift of discernment? You can pray for that. In fact, you should pray for that. That is a great gift. You can't have, I think, this is a Dr. Morocco quote, can't have a spirit-filled church and not have the gift of discernment. You have to have that gift operating. Otherwise, you'll have every looky-loo, Peter Pan will come in here prancing around in his Peter Pan ways, and we'll call it the Holy Spirit. No, let me just tell you, you come in here barking like a chicken, we will minister to you in a special way. We don't allow that. We don't allow for nonsense. What happens here is biblical. Everything that takes place here, you should see in Scripture, and we do. And if something was to take place that's out of order, we would stop it. Has that ever happened? Well, sure it is. Sure it has. Well, that kind of freaks me out. Listen, there's people that come that want attention. There's people that come that are wounded. There's people that come that try to make a scene. We have security, armed security, all over the place. You don't want to make a scene here. Not that they would use their arms. As in weapons. But we don't allow for nonsense and unbiblical things to manifest here. Does it happen? Occasionally. But we're open to allowing those gifts of the Spirit to operate because we have discernment. I was in a church a number of years, many years ago. And as I'm ministering to the pastor and his wife, I'm prophesying over them. Behind me comes this God-awful organ sound. It was an older church. God bless them. And they are weeping. The sound from the organ was like somebody was running me over a cheese grater. I'm like got sensitive ears, and I'm just sensitive like that with sound. And so I'm like, ah, I turn around. I said, stop. So I stopped the lady. She's got tears running down her face. And I realize, and I look back at the pastor. And I said, is that ministering to you? And they're like, yes. I'm like, let it go. Let it rip. They played some song from 1902 and the power of God hit that pastor. No, really. And I wasn't ministering to me at all, but I discerned. I had a moment where I realized, okay, I don't like that, but God likes it. God's touching them. And all the people from 1902 that were there got touched by God. And all the other folks were like, what are they singing right now? To discern between a wounded spirit, bitterness, or a demon spirit. Wounded spirits need healing. Bitter spirits need to be uprooted. Evil spirits need to be broken off of people, cast out. The importance of the gift to the church, well, it brings protection. It brings protection. If there was some strange thing happening and you didn't protect your family, you know, who would do that? We have locks on our doors. We have weapons, dogs. We have ways of protecting ourselves, correct, in the natural. There's a spiritual way to bring protection. And it's called the gift of discernment, discernments of spirits. So when a church has that, it brings protection. I'm telling you, we have that. And it allows for deliverance and for healing. It's for bringing freedom. Okay. Look at Roman numeral 2. We can grow in our ability to discern. Everybody say it. I can grow in my ability to discern. And I'd like to think that I've grown in that. I have so many examples of where I've missed it, where I didn't think, where I thought something was happening and it wasn't. I mean, it's just been a process of maturing. Hello? My granddaughter's maturing wonderfully. She can almost say my name now, which is Granddad. She doesn't quite have it. She says, Dad, which works for me. And she's getting Grammy down for Pastor Karen. There's a process of growth in speech, a cross process of growth in spiritual things. There's a process of growing in the gifts of the Spirit. And you should ask God for it. Every gift you see in Scripture is available for you if you'll just contend, earnestly covet. Come on, some of you know what coveting is. Earnestly desire, says another version. All right. So we can grow in the ability to discern. Come on, raise a hand to heaven and say, God, I want to grow in the gift of discernment. Amen. Applying God's prescribed tests. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So that's the first test. Is Jesus Lord? See, because the Holy Spirit will never undermine God's word. The Holy Spirit will never defame the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit doesn't glorify you. The Holy Spirit doesn't glorify me. The Holy Spirit lifts up and glorifies the name of Jesus. So when you have somebody who doesn't give honor, doesn't give glory, and says things that are contrary to Scripture, contrary to Jesus, they preach another Jesus, you can cross them off that they're not of God. It's a problem. Does it fit the test of 1 John? See, it's very important that we have this in this hour, because there are those who will depart the faith and listen to doctrines of demons. First John 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Everybody say, don't believe every spirit. But test the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Threefold test. This is a review. I've taught this dozens of times. Threefold test. Number one, A, right doctrine. Now, the thing about that is it's pretty hard to know right doctrine if you don't know right doctrine. Get your Bible out. Listen, you ought to know right doctrine. You ought to know the fundamentals of your faith. You say, well, I don't. Well, that's why we have all the courses and classes we have. And by learning what's true, by learning what's real, by learning God's word, it puts in you a great safety mechanism of right doctrine. And then you'll be able to discern a cult. You'll be able to discern when somebody's a bubble off. You know what that means on a level, a bubble off? They're off. I was invited to speak at a church somewhere in the state of Alaska, not in the valley. And I wanted to go on one hand, but on the other hand, I felt a check. One, I knew I was going to plant a church in that city, because we're going to plant a church in every city. Come on, somebody say amen. Juneau, we're coming. Anchorage, we can plant 3 more churches there. Where else? Everywhere else God tells us, as many leaders as he gives us, he'll provide. Provision will flow and follow vision. So we've got lots of vision. We're going to take the whole state. Can somebody say amen? For the glory of God, along with the rest of the body of Christ. But we're going to do our part. So I didn't want to go there, because I knew I was going to one day be in that city. And I didn't want to undermine or build on another man's foundation. And so I was hesitant. And I'm like, Lord. And I just felt like, no. And so I decided to watch the stream. Well, while I'm watching the stream, some guy's prophesying over people. I caught the end of it. And he's walking around. He's prophesying. And then he says, the Holy Spirit's here. The Holy Spirit's here. And then he says, oh, the spirit of Bob Jones is here. And I was like, ah! How many of you know? You might not know who Bob Jones is, but he's dead. That's a problem. Your dead aunt is not, no matter how godly she was or wasn't, she ain't coming to minister to anybody. She's dead. It's like, I see an eagle and and he wasn't corrected. Now, let me just tell you, if somebody came up in this place and taught about some spirit of Bubba Gump, he'll be stepping, I won't wait to the end of the service. I'll be shooting out of my seat so fast you'd think I was like a jackrabbit. And then I'd be, whoa, 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 whoa,
whoa. Everybody say, whoa.
Yeah, and I would graciously correct them depending upon their response. I might let them go or I might sit them down, but you're not teaching about Bob Jones. Spirit. It's weird. It's whack. Come on, somebody say it's whack. Yeah, it's wrong doctrine. So the threefold test is right doctrine. The second part of that test is true love. 1 John 4:8. Is a person operating in love? Do you see love in their life? Love. Biblical definition of love. How do they treat their wife? How do they treat their husband? How do they treat their kids? So I get a little concerning over the years. You see people who, you know, they're in a service and somebody gets in the way and they're protecting the anointing. And all of a sudden, you're like, whoa. And then they come back and then they minister to the person. And you're like, what was that? Oh, you interfered with the anointing? What was that? My precious. What was that? It's creepy. Became somebody else and filled with rage, filled with anger. Pastor Chris, would you kindly? Let's just ease everybody with some soothing keys. True love. Everybody say true love. Another way is by doing what's right. Do they sin? I'm instantly convicted when I hit this point and I'm instantly convicted because sometimes I speed. I'm doing better. I'm doing better. I drove the speed limit this morning. But then again, sometimes there's a higher law at work. Where I might need to, I don't know, 8-year out the gate, 9-year mine. I had some high-level police people tell me that. I don't know if it's true or not. Pastor Kirsten, I don't know. And one of our leaders got pulled over going 61. And the 51C, you're over 8. Happened this morning. God bless you. Had mercy. You ought to examine are you doing what's right? Are the people ministering to you doing what's right? How's their life? He said, well, Pastor, I don't, these guests that we have coming, the power conference, or how are their lives? Their lives are good. We know them. My wife and I live out loud in front of you. I'm here in morning prayer. I'm living for God. I live my life in front of you as an example. I endeavor to be a good example. In fact, a godly example that if you followed my life, it would go really well with you. I don't have sin in my life that I know of. I get sometimes attitudes and I get frustrated. I don't actually go out and sin. Been set free. But if somebody's living a life of that's completely separate from God's word and they say they love God, bunk. It's a bunch of bunk. You can't say you love God and you don't obey his word. If you love him, you'll obey him, Cain. Do they bear forth fruit? I got to move on. I'm about out of time. Do they bear forth good fruit? You say, should we be a fruit inspector? Are you kidding? Yes. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. Bad tree bears bad fruit. Verse 18 of Matthew 7, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Oh, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Wow. Look at B. Growing in the gift, that threefold test. Learn from those who have the gift. Learn from those who have the gift of discernments of spirits. Learn. Say, where are they? They're all over the congregation. My wife has an amazing gift of discernments of spirits. She sees and senses things many times before I do. Thank God. Oh, thank God for you. Pray for God to use you with that gift. Pray. And in closing, register for the Power Conference. Over the years, I think it's the 21st annual Power Conference. We used to call it the Prophetic Conference. Got 15 different guests flying in from outside the nation, from within the nation. Powerful, powerful, real. Truth, doctrine, character, fruit, integrity. And the real gift of the office of prophet is going to be put on display here for the glory of God starting Friday night. All the nights are open. Anybody can come to any of the night services. It's the day sessions you need to register for. So Friday night's open. Anybody can come Friday night, 7 o'clock. Saturday night, Sunday morning, of course, open. Sunday night, open. Monday night, open. But the Saturday and the Monday, there's a cost involved for that, where each and every registered person will receive a personal prophetic word. And that's quite a thing. It's the only conference in the nation like this. I mean, there's a few others, of course, in Maui. And there'll be 1,000+ people that register for this. It is a life-changing moment. And I can say on behalf of the Bracken family that our lives have shifted at every power conference I've ever been to. And I've been to all of them from 1995. 95, I was kind of on the fringe. 96, I was all in it, and I've been all in it ever since. Our life has been radically changed by a demonstration of an accurate prophetic word spoken. And it's not just prophecy. There's miracles and signs and wonders and a breakthrough of God's power. Register for the conference. Be in those day sessions. But if you can't, come to the evenings. Why? Because the church is going to lunge forward. Can you say amen? I'm so grateful for integrity and the model that's been set before us in Dr. Morocco and all those who've gone before that are right and true and just. Put your hands together for Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, we're going to give you an opportunity to remedy that. Receive Jesus today. Don't walk out of this place without being born again. You must be born again. The reason we built this building is to house great events like this one right now and conferences that are up and coming. But we really built it by the grace of God for you, so that you would hear the glorious news of Jesus crucified and resurrected, that you would hear hope in the midst of a crooked and a depraved generation. You would hear the message of God's love for you. You must receive him. It's not going to church that makes you right before God. It's receiving his payment for your sin. The Bible says, as to many as believed in him, he gave them the right to become children of God. You're not his child until you believe. And let me qualify that. The book of James says even demons believe. Believing in a biblical way is to believe that he came, that he died, that he rose again. But receiving, the purpose of that is to have you washed of your sin. Online in India and all of our churches in the Philippines and all those that watch this broadcast all over the world and in this great congregation, it'll be the final thing we do this morning, and I will close in a benediction and bless you. Are you right with God? And if you are not, I implore you, I plead with you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. You must be born again. You must receive Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. You must repent of your sin. Every head bowed, intercessors praying. You say, that's me. On the count of three, slip your hand up if that's you. You want to get right with Jesus for the first time. Number two, you want to break a recommitment. Or perhaps number three, you're just not sure and you want to be sure of your salvation. If that's you, online, in this great sanctuary, give your life to Jesus. Count of three. One, two, do it now. Lift your hands high. God bless you. Lift your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. Lift your hand high. God bless you. Thank you. See that hand. Thank you for your boldness. Thank you. 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 Anybody else? Lift your hand high. Would you stand with me all across this place? Come on, would you stand and pray right now? Those of you that raised your hand, maybe you didn't. Pray right out loud. Those of you just affirming your faith, you're right with God. Wonderful. Go ahead and affirm your faith as well. We'll pray all together. Repeat after me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on a cross for my sin. I believe he rose again from the grave. And I ask you to forgive me. Come into my life. Wash and cleanse me. Make me new. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Lift a hand as a universal sign of surrender one more time to God. Father, I pray with hands raised all across this place that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit even now, that you would bless them, that you would use them powerfully. Thank you for bringing them here to Kings. May they find a place to learn right doctrine. May they learn what it is to truly love. May they live a life worthy of all that you have done, so much so that when they stand before you on the end, in that day, that great day, they would hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thank you for a healthy church. Thank you for the gift of discernment. Thank you for what you're going to do today, tonight, throughout this week, and with our powerful conference that begins next Friday. People that might be on the fence of that, I pray you encourage them to step in, to grow, to receive a word, to receive transformation and healing and blessing. Thank you that Alaska will not be the same as a result of what's taking place with the people that are here. And Alaska will not be the same as a result of this up and coming conference. That our nation will even be impacted. I prophesy that words that come forth even from this pulpit over this weekend are going to impact the nations. And for that, we give you praise. Go ahead and do it.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.